Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Hand to Hold by Kathleen Fuller. Narrated by Callie Bollier. Chapter 1. Ruth Byler picked up a fresh piece of chalk and, with precise strokes, wrote her name on the blackboard in both cursive and print. She took a step back and smiled, admiring the letters, stark white against deepest black. This was her blackboard, her classroom, her dream. She turned to look at the empty desks filling the room. All 20 of them were aligned in 5 rows, 4 to a row, with equal space between them. Tomorrow, the first day of school, they would be filled with her students from 1st through 8th grade, for whom she had spent the last 2 hours finishing her preparations. On each desk sat a pencil and a brand new spiral notebook. She had purchased them with her own money, had sharpened each pencil, and had written her students' names on the inside cover of each notebook in the upper left-hand corner. Her favorite time of year had been the day her mother purchased school supplies. She remembered the crispness of the notebook paper, the snap of that first binder ring, and the thrill she felt when she looked at her unused colored pencils. She imagined her students' eager expressions when they walked into the classroom tomorrow morning, how pleased they would be with their gifts. Ruth walked to the back of the classroom to check the 4 posters on the wall: a map of the world, the alphabet in print and in cursive, a list of classroom rules, and a basic grammar guide. After ensuring they were all well secured, she went back to her desk, slipped on her reading glasses, and opened her planning book. Every minute of the day was scheduled, and she'd prepared lessons for the first 4 months, all the way up to Christmas break. After reviewing tomorrow's plans, she thought to rework a lesson, but resisted. She was already pushing it by being here on the Lord's Day. She closed the book and put it in its designated spot in her desk. She started for the door, then stopped. "Almost forgot," she said, and pulled a wooden apple out of her satchel. Her brother, Lucas, had made it in her family's workshop, Byler and Sons, as a congratulatory present for getting the teaching job. She rubbed her fingers against the slick, red-lacquered surface, admiring the smooth curves and the grain of the wood. She set it on the desk, her fingers lingering on it for a second longer. As she lifted her hand, a loud roar sounded in her ears. She whirled around, her mouth gaping open, and saw the back wall of the classroom explode. Wood splintered and boards flew in the air. Instinctively, she put her arms up to shield her face from a wood plank hurtling toward her, but she was too late. Darkness enveloped her. Zachariah Bender moaned as he lifted his head from the steering wheel. He reached for his forehead, his right arm moving as if in slow motion. A bump had started to form. Pulling his hand away, he expected to see blood, but let out a long breath when he didn't. He carefully released his white-knuckled grip from the steering wheel, then checked his arms and legs. Everything moved okay, and other than the bump on his head, he wasn't in pain. Thank God he wasn't seriously hurt. But he couldn't say the same for the truck. Through the windshield, he stared at the hazy sight of splintered wood and debris scattered around the gray 4x4. He fought the urge to vomit. The last thing he wanted was to ruin the interior, too. Zach put his hands on top of his head and shut his eyes. He had done plenty of stupid things in his life. Up until now, he'd considered the time he'd lit a stack of newspapers with a cigarette lighter in his dad's repair shop as the dumbest. 12 years old at the time, he had found the lighter on the side of the road and nearly burned down the shop. But driving a truck into the schoolhouse? This was definitely worse. Much, much worse. Zach gingerly pushed open the door, winced at the loud clacks of debris hitting the floor. The dust outside floated inside and filled his lungs, making him cough and increasing the ache in his head. When he stepped out of the vehicle, his foot hit something hard. A bookshelf lay face down on the floor, and books and magazines were spilled everywhere. He turned and looked back at the truck, and his stomach turned 360 degrees. Oh, man. Rick was going to kill him, and if Rick didn't, Zach's father would. He didn't even have a driver's license. He'd told Rick he could handle driving a couple of miles to the convenience store. The entire trip would take 10 minutes, tops. They had been rebuilding a four-wheeler in Rick's parents' garage, and they couldn't find anything to drink in the house, at least nothing they wanted. He'd driven the truck just fine before, with Rick sitting in the passenger seat, but this time Rick had let him go by himself. Then, halfway to the store, two deer ran out in front of the truck. He'd cut the steering wheel hard to the right, then tried to straighten out, but he overcorrected. The last thing he remembered was the schoolhouse coming up on him. He'd slammed on the brake pedal a bit too late. Zack shut the door, and several pieces of wood slid onto the hood. A hot breeze slammed into him, and he turned around to see a cavernous hole in the school wall with the truck parked halfway through it. A huge board dangled over the bed, then dropped, causing the vehicle to bounce on its shocks. Among all the clatter, he thought he heard a soft moan. Was someone here? He jumped over two damaged desks, scanned the room as he made his way to the front. Near the teacher's desk, a petite female lay on the floor, struggling to sit up. He knelt down beside her. Are you all right? She put her hand on the floor and pushed herself into a seated position. Her round, silver-rimmed glasses sat askew on her face, and her dark blue eyes shone from behind the lenses. Strands of dark blonde hair had pulled loose from her white head covering, hanging limp against her cheeks. His stomach lurched at the botch of blood on her forehead. A thick strip of jagged wood lay in her lap, probably the cause of her injury. The blood began to trickle beneath the bridge of her glasses and over her nose. He patted his pockets for a rag, cloth, something to stop the bleeding. Nothing. He untucked his light blue shirt from his pants, ripped part of the bottom off, then wadded it up and put it against her head. Don't move. What? She turned her head and looked at him, her eyes unfocused. Be still. You might have a concussion. And it would be my fault. Not only had he knocked out part of the schoolhouse, destroyed the furniture inside it, and crashed his friend's truck, but now he might have seriously injured someone. The young woman ignored his warning and straightened her glasses. Then she reached up and touched her head. Her finger slid against the blood. She jerked her hand away and stared at the red smudge on her skin. He braced himself, waiting for her to pass out or, at the very least, get hysterical. To his relief and surprise, she did neither. Instead, she calmly said, I'm okay. You're bleeding. Just a little bit. She took the cloth from him and looked at the round red stain on the fabric. See? Not that much. She started to stand, but when she got to her knees, she began to sway. He put his arm around her slim shoulders to steady her. You need to see a doctor. Nay, I'll be all right in a minute. She gazed at him, her brows sliding into a V-shape. Don't I know you? He looked directly at her face. Then he recognized her. Ruth Byler. He'd gone to school with her, although she was a couple of years behind him. But who could forget Miss Perfect, straight-A teacher's pet Ruth? I do know you. Zachariah Bender, yeah? Yeah, that's me. Right now he wished he were someone else, and someplace else. He glanced at the board behind the big teacher's desk. It had been spared from the flying debris, and he saw letters on the board in print and cursive. You're teaching here? Tomorrow's my first day. She moved to a standing position, keeping her gaze on the floor. She placed the bloody piece of his shirt on her desk and looked up, adjusting her glasses again as she faced the wreck. Her body froze, her fingertips remaining on one corner of the frames. Her lower lip began to tremble. Uh-oh. Her body began to sway, and he popped to his feet to steady her again. What happened? Aware that his arm was still around her shoulders, he stepped away, but stayed near in case she started to swoon again. I'm really sorry. It was an accident. Ruth brushed past him toward the truck. The desks, the floor! The words sounded like they were stuck in her throat. Turning slowly, she fixed her eyes on him, her expression a meld of shock and confusion. What have you done? Now, hold on. It's not as bad as it looks. The words sounded dumb, but he needed to reassure himself almost as much as he needed to reassure her. He He was grateful that he hadn't gone through the window side of the schoolhouse. If he had, there would have been flying glass everywhere, and who knows what would have happened to Ruth then. He walked away from her and wove through the debris toward the truck. He pulled a couple of broken boards away from the front. The truck only had minimal damage. The silver bumper hung by a screw. The front grille had a large dent, and there was an impressive crack dividing the front headlight. The windshield also had a crack that stretched across two-thirds of the glass, but from what he could tell, everything could be easily fixed. He couldn't say the same for the schoolhouse. He turned back to Ruth and saw her bend down and pick up a spiral notebook. She brushed off the dust and stared at it for a long moment. Her forehead had started to bleed again, but she stood there, staring at the mess, unmoving as the blood trickled down her face. Zack returned to the front of the room, retrieved the rag from her desk, and without thinking, walked over and dabbed her forehead. To his surprise, she didn't resist, probably too shocked to do anything but gape at the disaster surrounding them. "You've got to get this checked," he said. "You might need stitches." She pulled away from him and shook her head, placing the notebook on one of the desks that hadn't been struck. "There's no time for that. School starts tomorrow. I have to clean all this up." "Ruth, school won't be opening tomorrow, or for a while." Guilt nearly suffocated him as he spoke. She didn't respond. Instead, she picked up pieces of a broken desk, setting them in a pile. When she stood up, her body swayed again. He scurried behind her, ready to catch her if she fell. "That's it. You're going home." "Nay, I've..." "What in the world happened here?" Zack looked up to see a Yankee man looking through the hole in the wall. He scooted his way around the truck, stepping over the rubble carefully, then looked at them with concern. "I was driving by and I saw the truck sticking out of the building. What a disaster! Are you two okay?"
"I'm fine," Zack said, but he didn't say anything about Ruth. He'd never seen this man before, and while he was probably a well-meaning stranger, Zack didn't want him involved.
The man rubbed his salt-and-pepper goatee as he scanned the room. Zack caught a glimpse of the round bald spot peeking through his gray hair on the top of his head. He glanced at Ruth, then Zack.
"Is this your truck?"
Knowing it was useless to lie, Zack shook his head.
"You mean someone drove in here and then took off?"
Pausing for a second, Zack shook his head again. Not exactly." The man reached into the pocket of his khaki shorts and pulled out a cell phone. "I better call the police."
"Nay."
Zack stepped away from Ruth, pausing a moment to make sure she was solid on her feet. He strode toward the man, almost slipping on a spiral notebook. He could only imagine all the laws he'd broken today. The last thing he needed was a ticket.
"This is my fault. I was driving my buddy's truck and lost control, but we're both all right. You don't need to call the police."
Doubt crossed the man's features.
"Are you sure?"
He peered around Zack's shoulder and scrutinized Ruth. "Is that blood on her forehead?"
"I could call an ambulance. Or don't you people use regular doctors?"
Zack realized the man wasn't from around here. "We don't need a doctor, but thanks for the offer." Ruth stepped forward and stood next to Zack.
"It's only a scratch."
She dabbed the bloody cloth on the wound, then pulled it away. A few drops clung to the pale blue fabric.
"See? I'm fine. Really, you don't have to call anyone."
The man frowned.
"All right, but it's against my better judgment."
"I can give you both a ride home at least. You're not going anywhere in that truck."
Ruth shook her head. "My buggy and horse are here."
She kept her gaze focused on the Yankee. The man didn't answer for a long moment, and Zack thought he might call the police anyway. Finally, he said,
"I guess there's nothing I can do then."
He looked toward the hole in the wall, then back at Zack and Ruth.
"As long as you're both sure you're okay."
"We are," Ruth nodded, still not looking at Zack.
"Then good luck to you. Looks like you'll need it."
The Yankee took one more glance over his shoulder before disappearing outside. Ruth immediately started picking up several textbooks off the floor, hugging them close to her small frame. Her glasses slipped down her nose, but she didn't bother to push them up. She also hadn't bothered to listen to him when he told her to stay still. Putting his hands on his hips, Zack
looked at her. Ruth, halt. There's nothing else we can do, at least not today. Come with Mai. I can drive you home in your buggy. Now, she looked at him. I'll drive myself home. Nay, you don't need to be driving with that bump on your head. I'll take you. I'll drive myself home. Her voice had a slight edge that hadn't been there before. I feel fine. Squaring her shoulders, she removed her glasses and tucked them in her free hand while setting down the textbooks she'd picked up a moment ago. Any trace of confusion or anger in her expression had disappeared, but I feel I must inform you that I will be stopping by my Schwager's house. Gabriel is on the school board. It's appropriate he be notified of... She paused, her lower lip quivering for a second. Of what happened here? Zack's shoulders hunched forward. Yeah, you're right. I'll have to let my dad know as soon as I get home. He'll probably call an emergency meeting. Ruth's delicate eyebrows arched. Your dad's on the school board? Has been for years. You have him to thank for hiring you. She stiffened, but her emotions were controlled. The complete opposite of how he would have reacted if their situations were reversed. He appreciated the way she kept her cool. From what I understand, it was a group decision. Ouch. Maybe she wasn't as calm as she seemed. Ruth looked around the schoolhouse again. It took me 2 weeks to get everything in order. Her voice was barely above a whisper. She turned toward the hole in the wall. The remnant of a poster clung to it, fluttering in the summer breeze. Zack wanted to seep through the cracks in the floorboards, well, through the ones that weren't splintered or destroyed already. His gaze followed her as she walked through the obstacle course to her desk and gathered her belongings into a navy blue tote bag. She slung it over her shoulder and started for the front door, clearly intending to leave without saying anything to him. She stopped just before walking outside and picked something up off the floor. A wooden apple, stained a rich red color. She brushed her tiny fingers over the glossy surface, then put it in her bag and walked out of the door. He couldn't let her go just like that. He jumped over the mess, slid past Rick's truck, and left the schoolhouse through the new exit he'd made. He rushed to her buggy. Standing behind her, he said, "Look, I'm really sorry." His hat had fallen off in the accident, and he pushed back his damp bangs with the palm of his hand. It was a hot one today, the air surrounding them thick and heavy like a damp wool blanket. "I didn't mean for this to happen, honest, and I don't mean to cause you trouble. The least I can do is take you home. I'm serious about you not driving with your head all messed up like that." She placed her bags on the bench seat of the buggy before facing him, her expression blank. She said, "As I told you, I'm perfectly fine to drive myself home. I only live 2.5 miles away." She turned from him and walked over to unhitch her horse. For some reason, her attitude rankled him. He'd rather she yell at him than behave as if everything was okay. That's what a normal person would do, but Ruth was acting anything but normal. Giving up, he stepped to the side, then watched her back up her horse and buggy and ride away. After the clip-clop of her horse's hooves faded, he turned and faced the nightmare in front of him. Dread filled his gut and made him temporarily forget about Ruth. He clenched his jaw. How was he going to explain all this to his dad? He and his father had disagreed for years over everything from his choice in friends to the way he drove his buggy, but that wasn't the end of his problems. He'd also wrecked his friend's truck and destroyed an entire schoolhouse, not to mention making Ruth Byler really mad, even though she refused to show it. How was he going to fix all that? Chapter 2. "Ow!" Ruth winced as her oldest sister wiped her forehead. "You're lucky it's just a small cut," Mariah said, dipping the wet rag back into a bowl of cool water. "You could have been seriously injured. What were you doing at the Schulhaus today? It's Sunday. You're not supposed to be working." Ruth grimaced again. It wasn't the cut that bothered her, but the knot her sister kept touching. "I wasn't working, per se. I was just making sure everything was ready for tomorrow." "Knowing you, I'm sure everything was perfect a week ago." Mariah dabbed a little more. You shouldn't have been at the Schulhaus, Ruth. You know that. It doesn't matter if I was there or not. Everything would still be ruined. She closed her eyes, fighting her bubbling emotions. Just remembering the destruction in the schoolhouse caused her stomach to twist. It had taken all her mettle not to lose her temper with Zachariah. Yelling at him wouldn't have changed or fixed what had happened. She had driven over to her sister's house right after leaving the schoolhouse. Now she sat in Mariah's kitchen, trying to keep a logical head about what had happened as her sister continued ministrations. Mariah had stopped dabbing, so Ruth opened her eyes. Sundays are the Lord's days, Ruth, a day for rest. You would do well to heed that from now on. Unable to take any more of Mariah's hovering, Ruth took the rag from her. I'm not a Glay kin anymore. As the youngest of six in the Byler household, Ruth had spent her whole life trying to prove that she was capable, that she wasn't the little sister everyone had to watch out for and protect. She'd never liked to be babied, which Mariah insisted on doing even now. She was almost 17 years old and could take care of herself. I need to use the restroom, Ruth said, standing up. She made her way to the bathroom, flipped on the battery-operated lamp her sister kept on the vanity, and closed the door. Looking in the mirror, she examined her forehead, noting the slightly off-center bump made by the flying piece of wood. Gingerly, she cleaned off the rest of the blood dotting her skin, then rinsed the dust from her face with cold water from the sink. She dried her cheeks, then released a deep breath. Mariah was right. She was lucky she hadn't been seriously injured. The wood plank could have struck her in the eye or hit her head with enough force to give her a concussion. She didn't want to admit it, but both her sister and Zachariah had a right to be concerned. Her head throbbed, but the pain didn't compare with the fury rising inside her. Maybe she shouldn't have been at the schoolhouse in the first place, but Zachariah shouldn't have been either. She took a deep breath, fighting to tamp her anger down. Zachariah Bender. It would figure he was the one to do something like this. Who could forget such a troublemaker? She hadn't realized who he was at first, which could have been due to getting hit on the head, or it could have been because he had changed since they had been in school together. She remembered him as a short, stocky boy who was always disrespectful to authority, annoying the teacher and everyone around him, except for the few boys he hung out with who laughed at his juvenile jokes. To Ruth, he'd been the most irritating person she'd ever met, and she had been jubilant when he finally graduated. But he had grown since then. He still had the same deep red hair, light green eyes, and pale freckles on his face, but he'd grown several inches and lost some of his youthful girth. Now he was lean, muscular, and at least a head taller than she was. Well, his body may have changed, but his penchant for being irresponsible obviously hadn't. Guilt pricked at her. She was judging him. But it was hard not to when faced with what Zachariah had done. When she gained sufficient control, she left the bathroom and entered the kitchen. From the smile appearing on Mariah's face, Ruth surmised she had been successful in masking her internal struggle. The kettle whistled, and Mariah went to the stove and turned off the burner. Two white mugs were on the counter, a thin string with a small white tag dangling over the lip of each one. She poured hot water into each cup. Mariah handed Ruth a cup and gestured for her to sit down. Although she wasn't thirsty, she acquiesced to satisfy her sister. What she really wanted to do was go home and try to figure out what to do about the schoolhouse, but first she had to tell her brother-in-law what had happened. When she'd arrived, Mariah had made such a fuss over Ruth's injury that she hadn't had the chance. "Where's Gabriel?" "He's out with the girls in the backyard. I'll go get him." Ruth shook her head. Gabriel worked long hours in his blacksmith shop, and she didn't want to interrupt his time with his daughters, Verna, who was almost four, Esther, almost three. Baby Leah had just turned 18 months. "I can wait until he's done. I'll get the maid and Gabriel will take you home. I don't want you driving yourself." Ruth suppressed a sigh. Mariah's words echoed Zachariah's. His motives had been transparent, and she could tell he wanted to take her home more out of his guilt than for her safety. Mariah's concern was genuine, though just as annoying. That's not necessary. I drove all the way over here from the Schulhaus without a problem, Mariah frowned. If you ask me, Zachariah should have offered to take you. He did. I refused. But why? Ruth, I don't understand you sometimes. It's one thing to be independent. It's another to be foolish. I'm not foolish. Her voice rose and she brought it back down. I know my own body and I'm fine. Even if she hadn't been fine, she wouldn't have accepted a ride from Zachariah. Visions of the wrecked schoolhouse came to her mind, all her meticulous planning wasted, all her hard work ruined. School would be delayed until the schoolhouse could be repaired, and her students would be behind from the start. How would she make that time up? Her head started to pound, and she brought her fingertips to her temples. Ruth, it's going to be all right. Mariah came over to her and put her arm around her shoulders. Maybe the kinna can meet at someone's home until the school is fixed. Ruth tried to shrug her off, but Mariah's grip held firm. The idea was plausible. It would require flexibility on all their parts, but she would be willing to do it as long as the school board and parents agreed to it. Finally, Ruth gave in and accepted Mariah's comforting. Stay here, and I'll get Gabriel, Mariah said. He'll be happy to take you home. He was just saying the other day how you two never get a chance to talk. Ruth nodded, knowing it would be useless to argue with her sister, as Mariah would wear her down with kindness. Ruth was already worn down enough. Moments later, Gabriel came inside the kitchen carrying Leah and Esther, with Verna and Mariah tagging close behind. The tightness around Ruth's mouth relaxed at the sight of her nieces. Verna ran and jumped in her lap. Ruth's arms went around the small child, feeling the sweat on her niece's skin and dress from playing in the heat outside. "Auntie Woof, I've whipped out of the swing," Verna grinned, her brown eyes twinkling, her smooth forehead beaded with sweat. Mariah gasped, but Gabriel chuckled. "First and last time." He handed Leah to his wife and set Esther down on the chair at the table. He took off his yellow straw hat and threaded his fingers through his damp brown locks. She reminds me so much of Levi, not afraid of anything. Ruth looked up at Gabriel's mention of his late twin brother. Levi had actually been Mariah's first husband, and he was Verna's biological father. Ruth had only been 12 when Levi had died in a car accident. She'd seen how Gabriel had helped Mariah during that tumultuous time, supporting her through her pregnancy. Then they had fallen in love, marrying a year later and starting their own family. Verna had never met Levi, so Gabriel was the only father she knew, and he clearly loved her as his own. Mariah gave her daughter a stern look. "If you're going to be reckless, you won't be allowed to swing anymore." Verna's grin faded into a pout, and for the first time since Zach had crashed into the schoolhouse, Ruth had the urge to smile. She didn't dare. Though her niece might look adorable with her bottom lip poking out, but rebellious behavior wasn't tolerated by any member of the family. Mariah picked up Verna and set her on the chair. "Stay put." "But you heard your mommy." Gabriel stood next to Mariah, unified in their discipline. Verna nodded and remained still. Ruth admired her sister and brother-in-law's parenting skills. She planned to apply the same type of calm consistency in her classroom, if she ever had the chance. She gripped the edge of the table. Gabriel looked at Ruth. If he noticed her stress, he didn't let on. "Mariah said you need a ride home. She's insisting." "Oh, so you don't want a ride with your old schwega?" Gabriel moved toward the back door where the pegboard held a couple of yellow straw hats and Mariah's black bonnet. "Sorry, that's not what I meant, and you're not old. What I should have said is she's making me accept a ride from you, which I appreciate, of course." "Of course." Gabriel gave her a knowing smile. "I don't mind taking you home, Ruth." He peered at her as he put his hat back on. "From the looks of that bump on your forehead, I don't blame her for being concerned. She told me a little about what happened. I'm eager to hear the rest. Sounds like we have a problem on our hands." Ruth said goodbye to Mariah and her nieces, thanking her sister for her untouched tea. Once she and Gabriel were on the road, she explained what Zachariah had done to the schoolhouse. The ride was short.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?